Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to The Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. A few months ago, I called a mission expert because I'm getting old. I'm going to die someday. I want to make sure when I die that God gets my money. Not a greedy relative, not the government. I want God to get my money. So I called Pastor Dave Gibson from Grace Church, Eden Prairie, who's their mission and evangelism pastor. Why, here he is. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Tom.
Good to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
And I asked you the question, where can I give my money when I'm alive and when I'm dead that does the best bang for the buck of hitting and bringing the most number of people to Christ? Mm. Do you remember that, Tonga?
I do.
And what did you tell me? Do you remember?
Well, I think I probably said, you know, you begin in the local church where you've been fed and where you have your...
So give to your local church.
Yeah, epicenter of where you've grown spiritually, but... I think in terms of mission, giving to where the people are reaching the least reached and the unreached for with the good news of Jesus Christ. So in my opinion, and as we shared on the phone, there's one ministry that's really near and dear to my heart. It's called the Timothy Initiative. It's based on 2 Timothy 2:2. And Paul talked about to young Timothy about discipling others, the things you've heard and you've seen in me, these entrust to faithful men that they'll teach others also. So the Timothy Initiative is a discipleship ministry, but the best place to make disciples is in the context of New Testament churches. So mm-hmm. It's a church planting ministry too.
What part of the globe?
They're in over 40 countries now with over 60,000 churches that have been planted. TTI is relatively young as a ministry. I think they've been in existence for about 12 years. So it's really growing exponentially. For $300, you can support a national worker who we call a Timothy, under the tutelage of a Paul who mentors them, disciples them, instructs them, holds them accountable. And it's all obedience-based discipleship. Jesus didn't just say, teach them all that I commanded you. He says, teach them to observe or teach them to obey all that I've commanded you.
And so Dave, if somebody has money and you want to give money to World Missions, just Google the words "The Timothy Initiative,"
right?
And I went to you. I think recommended I go to their once a year conference.
Right.
I was so impressed. These people are reaching Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims for Christ overseas, and it's where I want to give my money.
Yeah.
So, and then there was a second James Watt, who used to be this Secretary of what? Defense?
Of the Interior.
Of the Interior under Reagan.
Right.
His son has started a ministry reaching Muslims.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about
that. Highest concentration in the Muslim world. His name is Eric Watt. It's Run Ministries Reaching Unreached Nations. And they're reaching all unengaged, unreached people groups and unreached people groups where there's basically no believers, no Bible, and no body of Christ.
What countries are they mainly in?
We did a big project with them in the MENA region, Middle East, North Africa. There'd be 22 countries in that region. They are also reaching up into China, and now they're reaching into Central Asia. But they have what they call the Antioch family of churches, and it's really quite unique. They're engaging former Taliban, Al-Qaeda terrorists, jihadists.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, we've had multiple meetings in Dubai where we have to meet covertly with these individuals, and I've got to be careful what I say here, but these leaders have come out of terrorism, and now they're terrorizing the devil for the cause of Jesus Christ.
So if somebody wants to support that ministry financially, and what did they Google?
Run Ministries.
R-U-N.
Right. Reaching Unreached Nations, Eric Watt.
Reaching unreached nations,
right.
And mainly he's going after the Muslims.
Muslim world, and also some into the Hindu world, but also the Buddhist world, Central Asia, the Muslim world.
So these are, I mean, again, everybody, if you're looking for a place to give money, give to your local church, like Dave just said, but then also find a couple good missionary groups like the Timothy Initiative and Reaching Unreached Nations.
And there's a consortium of all of these church planting ministries that I'm on the executive committee with. It's called the Global Alliance for Church Multiplication under the leadership of Bakaley Shanko, he's a senior vice president at CRU, an Ethiopian national, just a vibrant, dynamic, brilliant Christian leader. And there's over 90 church planting organizations. You could support GACX, the Global Alliance for Church Multiplication. The collective goal of that network is to plant 5 million churches amongst the unreached people of the group, to finish the task to have a church for every 1,000 people. About 5 billion people in the world today who don't have access to a local church in the least reached and unreached world.
And see, this is the kind of thing people should be giving their money to.
Right.
Because listen, when I see Christian preachers on TV and they're wanting their next jet and are asking you to donate to their jet,
right.
I'm thinking, come on.
Right.
You know? And so, and you know, somebody who gives our ministry says, Tom, I know you're frugal with our money. I've seen the car you drive. But these people are frugal. And so don't not give because you're nervous about
right.
it. So Dave, you fly 200,000 miles a year to support missions.
Right.
Wow. And can we just, for people that don't know what a Buddhist believes,
mm-hmm.
what a Hindu believes,
mm-hmm.
what a Muslim believes,
right.
can we just, in a nutshell, and what does a Muslim believe?
There's five pillars of Islam. They have what they call the Shahada, or the confession of faith. There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, so you mm-hmm. confess that. And then they have the giving of alms. They have to give to the poor. They have the Al-Hajj, which would be the journey to Mecca during
once
their lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Once a lifetime.
Right. And then they have to embrace the Quran. And there is a sixth element of Islam. Some would add the jihad to that, but that would be giving your life for the cause of
And of, do they believe Islam. In heaven and hell?
They do, and they believe in Jesus, but Jesus would be a prophet. I just had a long talk with Abdi yesterday over, I was having a little heart monitor the checkup yesterday over at Methodist Hospital, and I got into a conversation with Abdi, and he said, well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying as I was sharing my testimony in the gospel with him, but he says, we just believe that Jesus is a prophet.
Right.
And
so he's not the Savior.
No.
In fact, I think a lot of Muslims believe that Jesus did not die on the cross. Judas
right,
died on the cross.
Right. That,
but they do believe Jesus is coming back. So it's kind of a strange, it's not a salvation.
Right.
All right, tell me, what does a Buddhist believe?
There's an eightfold path. It's really a philosophy. Buddha didn't even claim to be a god. He wasn't a deity. And
you can be an atheist and be
right,
a Buddhist.
Right, but it was a philosophy of life. It was right thinking, right behavior, right conversation, right morality. And you travel this eightfold path, and if you live a good enough life, eventually you'll get to nirvana. And they believe that there's a reincarnation, and that you keep getting better and better.
Okay.
And it's really works righteousness.
Right.
It's not to the core, and so they encourage people to learn the eight tenets of Buddhism, and
okay.
and it's everything about right behavior. Right. It's a kind of a bootstrap kind of
theology. Save yourself by your own good
works. Be a good person. And
what about Hindus?
Hindus. They would believe in, they're polytheistic, they would believe, whereas a Christian or a Muslim would be monotheistic.
One God.
One God, yeah. The Muslim would not believe in the Trinity, but the Buddhists would, or Hindus, some sects, there's different sects of Hinduism, but they would believe there's 130 or 33 million gods,
mm-hmm.
you know, that these are different gods. That I sat down with a couple of businessmen on an airplane once, and I said, can you name all of your gods? And I said, which one of them provided a sacrifice for your sins? And which one can you say you know in a personal way?
Yeah.
So they also believe in a philosophy of reincarnation.
Yes.
That they're going to
come back.
Yeah. In fact, right along the Ganges River, we've got to work there in a place called Varanasi. It's one of there's seven holy cities for the Hindu. That's one of the holiest cities. And along that river, they'll be burning bodies along the banks of the Ganges, and they'll have seven Hindu priests up on the top of the banks. They're crying out. They do what they call a fire dance. They're putting their gods to sleep every night, and it's quite a spectacle. They'll have hundreds of thousands of tourists. It's a real tourist attraction, but I go there and it just breaks my heart as they sprinkle the ashes of their loved ones on the Ganges River. It's a holy river.
And then they'll probably come back as a cow or a human.
Yeah, right.
And you keep coming back to this life until you're perfect enough. And then you get, am I right? You're absorbed into nothingness? Is that what happens?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I right to say the only world religion that teaches we're saved by God's grace and not by earning it by your own good works is Christianity? Would you say that's
exactly? Exactly. Okay. God's not at the top of a ladder saying, climb, 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 and every other religion would be do this, do that, chant, pray, meditate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God came down and hung on a cross in the person of his son, Jesus.
There you go. And let's do that. When a missionary goes into a village that has never heard Christ, why don't you reiterate, just in case somebody's watching this that doesn't know about Christianity, what's the basic gospel message? Gospel meaning good news. What's the basic thing that a missionary preaches?
Well, I can give it to you, life in six words. G-O-S-P-E-L, God, our sins, paying every one life. God created us to be with him, to have a relationship with him. But our sins separate us from God.
Mm-hmm.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But sins cannot be removed by good works or being religious, going to church. Just because a mouse lives in a cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. Just because a person goes to church doesn't make him a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for 17 years. And so sins can't be removed by church or good works. Everyone paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. That's the good news of the gospel. Paul said, I deliver to you of first importance the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and in 3 days he rose again according to the scriptures.
That's it.
And then everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Well, you sound just like Martin Luther.
Yeah.
I'm a Lutheran.
One of the solas there, right? The three solas. Yeah, and that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's
great.
A meta-narrative of the scriptures. That's the essence of the gospel.
G-O-S-P-E-L.
Yeah. In fact, you can go to Dare to Share, Life in Six Words. You can get an app that lays it all out. It's
great.
A great way to share your faith.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's the fastest growing church in the world?
Well, you know, a couple of places right now, they say Iran might be one of the fastest growing. They estimate well over 1 million people have come to faith in Christ. I read a lot of articles about this incredible house church movement, that the gospel is spreading like wildfire under this iron fist of Islam. And you don't see that on the news channels. And Nepal would be another place where back in the early 2000 or so, there was probably a handful of known believers, and now there's it is actually one of the fastest growing churches. I don't know the exact statistics.
It's heavily Hindu.
Hindu, right.
But now lots of Christians lots of people coming to faith, but didn't they just pass an anti-conversion law to try to stop it in Nepal?
They have in both Nepal and India. Punishable by a pretty severe financial penalty and possible imprisonment, too.
So we've got to pray for the Christians in India and Nepal that they won't lose their faith.
Right.
This is sad.
A lot of persecution out there. In fact, a lot of people don't realize this, and there's the Day of the Persecuted Church. We need to pray for the persecuted church, but it's estimated that there's more people that have been martyred for the cause of Christ in this century than the previous 19 centuries combined.
Wow. More this century than ever. You mean this century, like since 2000?
This century and the previous 19 centuries combined.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where is it worse? Where is the church under the most persecution?
I think there's multiple occasions. You look at places like North Korea, Northern Nigeria. I mean, there's just horrific stories of people losing their lives and beheadings in in the Muslim world.
Okay.
In the
it's
MENA
worse
region.
Than the Muslim world.
Right.
Would you say that Muslims are the hardest to convert?
They're pretty difficult,
Yeah.
I think...
You had a story about a Muslim.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was in Baghdad. We have a church right in the heart of Baghdad. It says, Jesus is the light of the world. Church has a cross on the top of it. And there's about 400 people that worship there.
And they can have that.
They can, and they have cement barricades around the outside, too, so it has to be heavily guarded. But, yeah, and they've been under serious persecution. The pastor driving to church one day, they had put a bomb underneath his car and detonated it while he was driving.
Oh, my.
Just totally demolished the car. He got out. They had to pry him out of the car. He didn't have one drop of blood on him.
Wow.
And people who saw the wreckage of the car said, "There's no way that a human being should be able to survive that crash." But sending their kids off to school, it's very difficult, especially for a Christian in that world.
Hmm.
But I was out in the community with the Pastor Yusuf. There's an area where Saddam Hussein had one of his military compounds. And the Americans had bombed this out, so it was just all rubble. And there, about 500 refugee families have been relocated there, either displaced internally throughout Iraq or from places like Syria and surrounding countries. And through Samaritan's Purse and Grace Church and some others who have been very generous, provided humanitarian aid for the church to go out and minister to the needs of the refugees, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but also to not only give them relief, but turn relief into belief. And whenever people are in a state of transition and trauma, there's a much greater openness to hearing new truth, and especially the message of Jesus.
Yeah,
we were ministering to some families. The imam of the local community mosque came out and invited us to come into the mosque and have tea. And I'm the only American there, so I was getting a little bit nervous. And but he was very, very cordial. Came in, and a man sitting across from me, his name was Razim. We had just fed him and his family. He said, "I don't believe in the Bible."
This is the imam talking?
No, this is a Muslim man.
Okay.
And I said, "That's interesting." This is all through Arabic interpretation. I said, "Did somebody else tell you that, or did you discover that yourself?" And I said, "Have you read the Bible?" He said, "No." And I said, "It's interesting. You're critiquing a book you haven't read." I said, "Do you know the central message of the Bible?" He said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Do any of you know the central message of the Bible?" And they didn't. And the imam, he said, "Well, we respect the Injil, the scriptures, but..." He didn't know the central message of the Bible. I said, "Well, I'd encourage you to read the Bible, and it's not corrupted. It shows the corruption in us more than there's no corruption in the Bible." But I said, the central message of the Bible absolutely transformed my life. I'd encourage you to read it. And they said, "Well, what is the central message of the Bible?"
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, and after many years of evangelism training, I perceived that it might be a witnessing opportunity.
There you go.
So for over an hour, we had a chance to talk about Jesus. Jesus said, "You search in the scriptures, you think in these, you find eternal life. It's these that bear witness of me." I said, "You know, it's a message of love, that God loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you, and you, and you." And I pointed to each one of about 30 Muslims sitting in that mosque that day. And I said, "You know how much he loves you? He loves you this much, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, that God demonstrated his love to us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was buried, he rose again, and he's alive today, and he's as real as the nose on my face. And he ascended into heaven and sent his spirit into the world, and his spirit is with us here right now. And he says, 'Behold, I stand at the door of your heart, and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in.'" I didn't think I should give an altar call in the mosque that day.
But what happened?
Well, I invited them to come to our meetings. We had over 200 Iraqis came to Christ that week. I was with Victor Hashwe out of Amman, Jordan, and in the church we had these evangelistic meetings with refugees coming in primarily and other people in the community. And three of them came, and we preached the gospel and gave an invitation at the end. And Razim, the guy who didn't believe in the Bible, along with Abu Dawood, the imam, and Laith, three of them came forward with tears coming down their cheeks to receive Jesus.
Wonderful.
So praise the Lord. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Hallelujah. And you know, something I've heard on and off through the years, do you verify this or not, that in so many Muslims lands, they are so tight and not allowing missionaries that Muslims have dreams about Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
25 to 30% of Muslims who are coming to faith have had some type of dream or vision of,
really?
Of Christ. And it's usually accompanied with by somebody coming and then explaining the gospel to
right.
them.
Yeah.
Faith still comes by hearing and hearing
right.
by the word of Christ. But,
sure.
but dreams and visions. And I, you know, it's interesting in the scriptures, it says the Greek seeks for wisdom, you know, they're more mm-hmm. cognitive
and philosophy.
Yeah, but the Jew seeks for a sign. The
yeah.
Middle Eastern mind is looking for that sign, and the Muslim mind. And I really believe the Lord's revealing Himself. And I think all the people that have been praying over this 1040 window, where you have the darkest places on the planet.
1040 window meaning 1040 parallel.
Right, right.
Which is basically northern Africa.
10 degrees north and south, and 40 degrees north and south, its latitude, and it's a window between the Middle East and all the way through Southeast Asia.
The biggest unreached
right,
people group.
Highest concentration of the world religions of Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism.
Uh-huh.
3.5 billion Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists that are literally on a highway to hell, most of them, without ever hearing the good news of Jesus. Disease and poverty, spiritual darkness. That's a high concentration. But people have been praying over those windows, and there's a harvest. It's harvest time.
Well, let's talk about that then. You're part of something called Go 2020.
Right.
Explain this to us. What is that?
Well, about a dozen years ago, there was an initiative called the Global Day of Prayer. Graham Power out of South Africa mobilized prayer leaders all around the world, and they mobilized about 100 million Christians to pray. And it was on Pentecost weekend. Out of that came a global outreach day. They coupled evangelism with this massive prayer movement. It's now in 140 countries. They've had a global outreach day on Pentecost weekend. Well, that's become a global outreach month here in 2020. Between Easter, where we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, we're saying, what better window in the life of the church than to share the gospel? So the goal is to mobilize 100 million Christians during that month worldwide to share the gospel with a billion people. And in the U.S., we're taking 10% of that goal, praying that the Lord of the harvest would raise up 10 million Christians to pray for, care for, and lovingly and appropriately share Jesus.
Okay.
With we say everyone can reach someone, and together we can reach the world. So we say, who's your someone? Someone in your family, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your workplace, on your campus.
If someone wants to be involved in this, what do they do?
Well, you can go to the website, go2020usa.com.
Okay.
There's a video on there. There's on-ramps for individuals, churches, denominations. Get your church involved. Go talk to your pastor. I've been seconded by the church to be the U.S. director for Go 2020. So,
and if somebody wants to talk to you about this, or they go to @grace.com and you
right.
can send them an email or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, totally.
@grace, @grace.com.
Right,
okay.
right.
Good.
But Billy Graham was asked, who's going to be your successor when you leave? He said, the church.
Oh.
There's 2.3 billion people in the world who call themselves Christian. Probably
mm-hmm.
maybe half of them really understand what that
sure,
means if we're optimistic about that. But what would it take to mobilize a sleeping giant? We're praying, all the prayer ministries are coming together. We're praying for canopies of prayer over cities, over our churches, over our nation. Our nation needs Jesus more than ever before. Can you imagine what it would look like if every man, woman, boy, and girl in America was prayed for by name?
Oh.
And then we reached out with love and compassion, and then we shared the greatest message, the truth that'll set men free.
Yeah.
So we're praying for this massive wave. You know, we read about revivals in the past and spiritual awakenings. We're praying for that right now. We had 110 leaders, Steve Douglas, the head of Campus Crusade for Christ, and we've got prominent leaders. I won't get into the list of all the ministries that are involved. You can find out that out on the line, but it's a massive, massive movement of the body of Christ
and
coming together.
Coming together when? And
during the month of May 2020.
Anything in the Minneapolis area?
Huge.
Okay.
KTIS
so,
and all kinds of
all
churches
right.
and ministries. You'll be hearing a lot about it. But you can get involved. We want you to, we're praying that the Lord will raise up, the Lord of the harvest will send forth the laborers. We're not asking people to come to an event, mm-hmm. not asking them to join a program.
Okay.
We're saying, do what Jesus commissioned us to do 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission, and not the Great Suggestion. You know, Jesus, it's a command to be obeyed, not an option to be considered. So
we're saying,
hey, could we all be a part of this massive army?
If you want to be part of that, you go to
Go2020USA.com. Right.
All right, we've only got 2 minutes left, Dave.
Okay.
But everybody, just we had this show on today because you're a part of the church. It's your job and my job to get out there and to bring the lost to Christ. I encourage you to use your free time, use your conversations, use your money to support missions worldwide. And again, you can, if you want to give to a good mission, The Timothy Initiative, Google that. The other one is called Reaching Unreached Nations.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google that. If you want to contact Dave, it's atgrace.com. And we got 1 minute, Dave. Tell us, you before the show started, you said, pray for Bob. Explain that in 1 minute.
That's my challenge to everyone out there who says they're a follower of Jesus. Pray for Bob every day. The B is a burden for the lost. Paul said in Romans 9, I have deep, deep anguish in my soul for my countrymen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he said, I wished I'd be accursed if it meant for the salvation of my people. How many of us have an urgency and a burden?
So
Jesus
pray, God will give you a burden.
God will give you a burden for the lost. O is for open doors for the gospel. Colossians 4, 2-6, Paul says, pray for me as well that God will open up a door for the ministry of the word, that I can speak forth the mystery of Christ and the way how to speak. I pray for one lost sheep every day.
Yep.
And that the Lord will give me a chance to share Christ that day. And then the third thing is, so you pray for a burden, pray for open doors, then walk through that open door, the natural opportunities that God gives you, and then B is boldness.
Okay.
Ephesians 6, 19 and 20.
Good.
Pray that whenever I open my mouth, I might fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, that I boldly proclaim it as I should.
Well, everybody, before you go to bed tonight, pray for boldness, pray for open doors, and pray for a burden. We'll see you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
If you've been blessed by The Pastor Study, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to help us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ? You can donate at our website, pastorstudy.org, two S's, or mail a check to The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful week.